Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Justin Salvin, and me, whoever I am! Hey, what's up, guys?
Good evening, Hi. Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Comic Book Club.
Hi.
I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
I'm Justin. And here's the news.
Yeah,
I haven't been here for a couple of weeks. I'm sorry, you guys.
You've forgotten how to say our names?
No, man. Yeah. It's been a crazy couple of weeks.
I know. Well, and we went and did a deep dive into Pete's name, if you've been listening to the show.
So I have not.
A lot about LePage as a... Because it was in the latest Brian K. Vaughan comic.
Did you guys bring back Turn LePage?
Yeah, we've been bringing back a lot of old catchphrases.
Great. For those of you longtime listeners, you might know, we used to do a show for Pulp Secret Network on Next New Networks.
And, there's usually a cheer from the crowd when you say Next New Networks.
Oh, we'll insert it in post.
Yeah.
There was a part of the show called Turn LePage with Pete LePage. Is that true? Am I remembering that correctly?
No, I think you're making that up.
I think that was something we joked about doing, but I don't know if we ever actually did it. But I think it's a great... Because I like the idea, because we did Turn LePage because he liked Renew Your Vows number 2, the Spider-Man comic from last week. So we turned LePage on Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I was thinking about it as literally Pete would look beyond the cover for one comic book. Once.
Oh, that's not possible.
Oh, no. Yeah, that seems ridiculous.
A lot of Pete's comics are stapled on both sides, so you can't open them.
They're more pockets.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we're having fun, right?
We're having fun.
Yeah, we're having fun. You know
this
what
is
also
the
is
annual
fun?
Pete LePage roast. Got him.
Oh, man. What's on your face? Is it a porcupine or is it a beard?
Oh, gotcha. Playground roast.
No, I love porcupines.
Yeah, he wishes it was them.
Yeah, I wish it was a porcupine.
So you spent 3 weeks in San Diego? Were you there like, setting up chairs and stuff? Or
yeah. Well, I was getting ready for Hall H. I was setting up chairs.
Nice.
I was hanging up all the banners, stapling all the comics shut.
And then you had to take them down at the end.
Yeah, no, it took a really long time.
Nice. Close
I
up
had to recover.
What?
I partied hard. I worked hard and I partied hard.
Did you party hard?
Because
I remember some partying hard we did, and I'm curious if it was on the same level as that.
I'm going to say it was not on the same level as that.
Oh, yeah! Still got it!
Yeah. No.
Still had it.
If by party hard, you mean at the end of a really long day of work, I went back to my hotel room and read a book?
Yeah,
it was pretty crazy.
I mean, that's the... The margarita of the modern man is reading a book.
I also had some margaritas.
I actually saw you had a margarita, and I know at least one, because you posted like 9 pictures of it.
We're having a good time.
Yeah.
You know who else has a good time is our guest, who we're very excited to welcome back to the show. He is a filmmaker. He is a journalist. He is a jack of all trades, at least 2 trades.
He's a jack of 2 trades, master of one of them.
Yeah, maybe 2.
Maybe 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, Neil Turrets.
Yeah, welcome back to the show.
Mr. Neil Turrets.
Hello, welcome back to the show.
Gentlemen, nice to be back.
Thank you. So what's it like to be a jack of many trades? How many trades would you say you're a jack of?
Probably 2 is about the writing is the big one. So let's just say jack of one trade.
Master of one.
Various forms of said trade, but.
Now, you had an experience recently. This is starting off terribly.
We're really rusty getting back.
Yeah,
exactly. You had an experience.
Tell us about this one.
Yes. No, but you had an experience recently. We didn't talk about this part, but you, back when Avengers came out, you did something very special. And I'm curious, I mean, without framing exactly what it is, whether you did it for journalistic reasons or for personal reasons.
Both. I did it for both reasons.
Okay.
Yeah, I did it purely for story value, and the fact that I could write a story about it was a cherry on top.
Well, do you want to tell
everybody? Like all good interviews, could you then now reveal what it is you're talking about?
That's how interviews work.
Yeah, exactly.
You slowly turn the page.
You're thinking of game shows. You're thinking of revealing like Wheel of
Fortune. Yeah, it's like what we're talking about is like a prize for the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
A real treat.
Yes. So
what happened was back in March, I think.
That's a month.
Marvel and AMC Theaters announced that that Avengers was opening up on technically on May 1st, but really they were showing the first screenings on Thursday night, the 30th of April. So they were going to do, in select theaters around the country, they were going to do a marathon showing all 10 Marvel movies leading up to a special 7 o'clock, slightly early premiere of Age of Ultron. So I heard about this and pitched it to my editor, and by the time she agreed, said, yes, okay, we'll go do it, it had sold out. So I tried calling Marvel. They said, I called Disney. They said, yeah, talk to AMC. I called AMC to get a free ticket, and they said, no, talk to Marvel. So that was out. So I went down to the theater at 68th Street, and they said, yeah, that you're out of luck. So I thought, all right, maybe I can get somebody to send me a scalp ticket. It was in the big theater. There are 600-plus seats. So the night of the 29th, it started at 6, I think, and I got there around 5:30 or 6:15, and I went in and said, hey, are there any tickets left? They said, yeah, we have like a dozen tickets we've been setting aside.
Oh, there we go.
Wow. So you scalped them from the box office.
From the box office. Wow. So the
that's the magic
the
of
the ticket price of $70.
Oof. Nice.
Wow.
I had on the way down. I hadn't really slept much beforehand. I kind of got up early that day.
Yeah, it's like when you're doing a race, right?
Yeah.
You run a lot the day.
You
want
to run to the race,
right? When you're not
run to the starting
sleep
line. They
well, that
days,
was the big mistake. Was I actually tried to take a nap in the afternoon, and I was kind of keyed up because I wasn't sure if I was going to get in or not. So I'd been up since about 8 in the morning, and the guy said, yeah, go ahead. And I had stopped at Duane Reade on the way down and got a bunch of food and threw it in my backpack and walked in.
That's illegal.
Yes, it is.
And we're
it
here
is
to say, you're but busted, my friend.
And also, what's even worse is I own one of those plastic cups, the large cups that you get free refills.
Ooh.
And the loophole is they say that you can only get free refills that day, but they never actually check. So if you walk in with the plastic,
wow,
large plastic
nice
cup, you get free
what
refills.
What a scumbag.
Yes, absolute, absolute
you've
scumbag.
You've got an old plastic cup with like
so wait,
Band-Aids on it.
I don't know. I want to focus on the food for a second because I know there were some of these screenings where they said, okay, people are going to be here for 48 a week, whatever it's going to be, they gave you a certain food allowance.
Yeah, there was. It was. I think all the popcorn you could eat.
Wow.
It was like stuff like that. That you could like by signing up for the thing, you could get certain things from the concession stand. But they also knew that because we were there for so long, they weren't really. Nobody looked at me. Normally, you walk into the theater and they say, "What's in your bag?" And
yeah,
this time they said, "Yeah, just go get a seat."
Yeah,
and. Oh, it was yeah. So I filled up the big thing at Coke Zero and sat down and off we went.
How many years do you think this experience took off your life?
At least two.
Wow.
At least two. Yeah.
So what was it like? What was the hardest thing about doing this?
That's tough because after a while,
was it pissing into your Coke Zero? Was that the hardest thing?
No, because the funny thing was that there was enough time in between each movie that you could take a proper bathroom break. And the one time I needed to go during...
You know, there wasn't actually time between the movies. That's called Iron Man 2.
Oh.
Here's the problem.
Come on, dude.
Actually,
come
sorry
on.
Actually,
I like
Iron Man 3.
Sorry.
Actually, you don't like Iron Man 3?
I thought 2 was better than 3.
See, I actually don't mind 2. Incredible Hulk, that is Drek. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's the real
That's bummer. Terrible. And that's but they showed him in order. So, like, getting up and walking out of Iron Man 2, you're only 3 movies in. You got all these movies to go. The worst part was not the sleeplessness, because after a while, you start riding on the sugar rush, the caffeine from all the Coke Zero,
right,
and the adrenaline. It was the fact that when you put 600 people, whether they be upscale, you know, whatever, they or up, let's face it, unwashed geekery, they're gonna start to reek.
Someone's going to fart.
Yeah, there's a
once
lot of farting. There is a lot of,
You know from experience.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the farter.
What happened was they gave us an hour between Avengers and Iron Man 3, basically the halfway point. And so I went home.
To call your loved ones.
Yes. Yeah, that's
say
right.
Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly.
I went home.
Send your affairs in order.
I went home to get my phone charger because I was posting on Facebook throughout this thing. And that's actually Justin was following along with it. Yeah.
Aww.
And
it's good.
It was I mean, you know, it was pretty funny, I'd like to think. But, Justin chimed in at one point, and that was one of the, like, people, I kept checking, and people were saying, this is great, have fun, oh my God, I can't, you know, every 2 hours I'm checking in, and Justin at one point just wrote, this is amazing, as a comment. It's like, well, if Justin's impressed, then I must be doing something.
Wow. Sort of a tastemaker.
He actually thought it was amazing that anybody made it out to a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I haven't seen hardly any of those Marvel movies. So I was like, oh, they're still out? Great.
I ran home to get my phone charger and also drop a much-needed deuce and then went back to the
theater. You saved it up? You, sir, are the real hero.
That's right. That's right. So I got back to the theater, and when I walked in, it was a beautiful spring day. It's like 60 degrees. It's gorgeous outside. And I kind of walking in with a sense of dread, like I'm going back in for another 13 fucking hours of this.
Wow.
And as soon as I walked into the theater, what I hadn't noticed before, because I was in the middle of it, I walked in and was just hit with a wall of body odor.
That's,
you know,
terrible.
The Seinfeld episode with the BO in the car?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Wow.
And it was, but you know, your nose gets used to it after a while, but that first hit is.
Do you think it was
pungent.
Sort of like the General Ross cloud from Hulk?
Yeah.
That was really,
it might have been.
That doesn't count in continuity.
No, it's not continuity, but it might be in the theater.
No,
so by the time the movie came, did you just not give a shit, or were you actually into it?
Well, no, the funny thing is that knowing that there was a good chance, that it was a chance I was going to do it, I called up Disney. Because I'm a senior editor at an entertainment news magazine called SSN Insider. And so I can often talk my way into these things saying, hey, I'm doing a story about this or that. So I called up and got into the all-media screening in Times Square on Monday night. Because I said, look, I might be doing this thing and I'd like to see it with fresh eyes. And I, you know. So I saw Age of Ultron on Monday and I was like, eh, didn't really like it all that much. I thought it was mediocre. But then I saw it again after seeing the other 10 movies and being up for... at that point about 36 hours and thought it was great.
So I feel like the fatigue set your brain back to that of a child where you could enjoy anything sparkly.
Yes, that's right. I mean, the first time I sat there like kind of, all right, whatever. And the second time it was like, you know, it was in the Nutty Professor when Eddie Murphy's mom... they're at the dinner table, and the kid starts to flex, and she starts clapping and saying, Hercules,
yeah.
That's
now you're speaking Pete's language.
Yeah.
Did you sleep through any of the movies?
No, I was straight up all the way through.
Really?
Wow. From the beginning, from the time I got up.
You're Iron Man.
From the time I got up Wednesday morning to the time I went to bed Thursday night was a little over 40 hours.
Wow, that's all right. Hard.
And then not being as young and spry as I used to be took me the entire weekend to recover from it.
Yeah,
wow, that's crazy. You know, it's pretty funny, much actually, all day we have a little bit of a surprise for you. We're going to do it all again right here on this podcast right
press
now.
Let me ask you, what do you walk out of there? What were your favorite? Because I imagine your least favorite movie is Incredible Hulk.
By far. Well,
your
the
favorite
funny thing
is
the joke I made was, as I was, I ended up printing this running commentary that ran a couple days later. It ran on Friday the 1st in SSN. If you go to SSNinsider.com, you can read the thing. I think it's pretty funny. But... at one point, I make a reference that the opening credit that Louis somebody boos Louis Leterrier's directed by credit in The Incredible Hulk. Oh wait, that was me.
You bastard.
But yeah, it's not a good movie at all.
And what were your favorite? What were like your favorite? Not your favorite movie per se, but your favorite like moment or part, I guess.
Well, Winter Soldier is my favorite of the bunch.
Nice.
That's right. I recently watched it.
Dick
it's better
Barry.
On
you
television.
Suck.
Really?
Yep.
See,
that is a ridiculous thing to say.
The
about
commercial
movies.
Breaks come at great moments. So you can really see a lot of great products.
God.
There were. I don't know that it was
products.
Any one.
Were you just watching Universal Soldier? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it's the one where he like sort of time travels.
That's Time Cop.
Time Cop.
I haven't seen Universal Soldier either. Maybe I'm a bad person.
Yeah, you are.
Maybe.
Yeah. Fuck. Never
I don't know that I had one favorite moment. There were specific moments that I enjoyed. Movie-wise, you're talking about? Like my favorite?
I guess my question, would wonder, like, being at the screening, what was the moment that everybody lost their shit or a favorite moment just
well,
with
the crowd? There were a few times. Every time Stan Lee came on board, came on screen, the place went bananas.
Nice.
Every time. I think that... you know, at the end of Guardians, the place erupted because it was, okay, we made it. Like, no matter what happens, we can say we got all the way through.
Right. Plus, it's a good one. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie, too. Well, that was the interesting thing is that I think probably the two best of the bunch, they're probably my two favorites, and that and Avengers, the first Avengers, are probably the best three, were at the very end. And two of the very worst, Hulk and Iron Man 2, my apologies, but it's not as good as a lot of the others. I don't mind Iron Man 2 either, but I also don't think that it's as good as some of the others. But those are at the very beginning. So once you suffered through those, I'm also not a big fan of the Dark World, Thor, the second Thor movie.
Yeah, it's all right.
You know,
yeah,
I just recently rewatched that,
and it's not all that great.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it was jammed in just to tell an Infinity Stone story.
Yeah.
It didn't have much to do with anything else that was going on.
It also plays like a lot of it plays like an X-Files episode where it's like,
kind
of. What are we even watching here?
But Chris Hemsworth, really good.
Very good. Always
very good.
Right.
Always good.
Very good, though.
And going to be in Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Annie Potts
and Janine.
So what else are you working on? What else is going on in your life?
wow, asking the intimate questions. Well, yeah, you're doing
who
another.
Who are you dating?
You're doing a superhero thing, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually writing a superhero movie. I can't really talk about it other than to say it's not a Marvel or DC thing. It's I'm repurposing a public domain character.
Nice.
And turning him into a Latin American Mexican, basically Mexican Batman.
Nice.
Because
so, is the character Batman?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good, great guess. No.
Thank you.
No. It's like Mexican.
I guessed it because he said Mexican Batman.
Yeah, no, it was a good. I mean, basically, it was a solid guess. It was a good clue, is what that was.
Thank you.
It's like Mexican Coke is sweeter, so Mexican Batman
because it's
a little,
real sugar.
That's what I'm saying.
So Mexican Batman would be a little grittier.
Grittier. Oh, I see.
Sure. Really?
He's like a more pure form of sour.
That's what I'm saying.
Nice.
That's it. Once again,
like
Justin,
a tarongis.
Once again, you have crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
Yeah. Like a tarongis grapefruit soda.
The Batman thing is a little on the nose. That's why I kind of threw that out there.
Also, but, not public domain as far as I know.
Not public domain. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Did you know literally anybody can make a Batman movie?
Yeah. Ben Affleck and Jeff Johns are making one. So they were at the bottom
Jeff
of the list.
Anybody can make
they
one.
Were at the bottom of the list.
But my take on it was there are no real Latin heroes. There are no Mexican heroes. There are no, you know, I mean, you've got, there aren't any black heroes either. I mean, you've got Black Panther and Cyborg, they're eventually coming out, Falcon. But there's just a dearth of minority heroes. And so I pitched this character to a producer who said, and I said, look, for not a lot of money, we can make this movie and it will make $250 million just south of the border, just internationally, before we even deal with, you know, domestic. So he bought it, and he said, great, go write it. So I'm about...
That's great.
I'm a little over halfway through, I think, first draft, but feel good about it. So I'm
nice.
I'm
how many times
fun.
Have we
I
seen...
I writing a horror movie. I've fun writing a superhero movie.
Have we seen his parents die yet a couple times?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm not really treating it as an origin story. I kind of am taking it as... I feel like that's been done. So
I don't know.
Why
have
you
seen Batman's parents be killed on screen?
It's hard to remember.
No, is that something that's done a lot? I don't.
I've seen a lot of pearl necklaces drop to the ground.
I know that. I know that Zack Snyder is already broadcasting that he's killing Bruce Wayne's parents again.
It was in the trailer.
That's what I'm saying.
It's in the trailer.
I just saw that trailer today again at the big screen, and it's still
stupid.
Yeah,
the red capes are coming. The red capes are
You're not
coming.
Saying it right. You got to say, like, the red capes are coming. The red capes are coming.
Well, you should know when they were making that, he was falling away from the microphone. Yeah, so his voice got very
cool.
Tiny.
Well, that sounds great.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I actually haven't really done this before. So, you know, Justin and I bonded when we first became friends over our mutual love of comic books and superheroes. So, I mean, the joke I always make is when I was a boy, the only two things I cared about were baseball and superheroes. And now that I'm an adult, I've really just added women and booze.
Nice.
Congrats.
Smart.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
keep it simple.
That's what I like to think. Yeah.
And your professional baseball career is like a little bit on the rocks.
It's over. Yeah. Well, I'm in my
40s. It's more of a Mexican baseball career.
That's a great point. South of the border.
Awesome. Where can people check out your stuff?
Well, if you have Amazon Prime, you can see my first movie for free. It's called Two Ninas. Beyond that, you can read my stuff at ssninsider.com. I'm a regular, I'm a senior editor. I'm a regular columnist. My column goes under the title "The Accidental Turrets."
Ooh,
I get it.
Because you see your name there.
Yeah.
Much like Turn the Page.
Just like it.
That'd be a bad name for a column in a newspaper because
you could do it. because they just asked
it. Turn the page. Got it.
You could do a drinking column called Tylering One On.
My wedding hashtag was Tylering the Knot.
Oh, that's much better.
Well, we worked on it a while.
You workshopped it?
Yeah.
Great. Well, we're going to workshop this next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we've been workshopping it for years.
We sure did. Actually, to be honest, we didn't.
Yeah,
we basically were
right
like, what should we call it? And we said the stack.
Yeah.
It was. And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comics that we particularly like that came out this week.
I've been here before.
Yep.
It's been a while, but I'm...
He's
not explaining it just to you.
He looked at me. I was like,
audience.
I know.
People
I know.
Listen to this.
Okay, Neil, what's going to happen now?
I read a couple of comments.
God damn it, Neil. We have been recording this show for 8.5 years, and every single time before we get to the stack, I say, okay, Neil, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I've only been here 3 times. So
yeah, but you listen every week.
Right?
Sure.
Great.
Okay.
Great. That's great. Pete, what's your pick?
I picked Hawkeye. It's the last issue.
Hawkeye
finally
22.
Came out after an 8-month hiatus. It's finally on the stands. The end of the famous Hawkeye run that changed comics.
It's wet over there. Yeah, you don't want to
be respectful. Here, I'll hold on.
It's wet everywhere.
Fucking bunch of douchebags.
All right, there we go. For those of you listening at home, it's wet, and we were shoveling comics into a bunch of water.
So, yeah, we finally have Matt Fraction's ending to Hawkeye.
Do you think David Aja was involved at all, or was it just Matt Fraction?
Just Matt Fraction.
He only sees in words.
That's the opposite of true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the art's unbelievable, okay, Zalbin? But yeah, what'd you guys think of the ending?
Oh,
wow.
Turn it
Wait,
back.
Hold on. I want to dwell on this for a second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pete, right. Based on the fact that you're not really talking about it and you seem very couched and hesitant.
What?
It seems like you didn't like it.
No, I loved it.
Well, what did you like about it then?
Well, I mean, you finally got a little closure to which lady he's into. We finally, yeah, there was a lot of things that finally got tied up. One last amazing kind of fight sequence. You know, a dog. God damn it, they hurt a lot of dogs in this series, and it's heartbreaking as shit. But, yeah. But, yeah, I... You know, and I love the, you know, the bro stuff is just hysterical. I think
that.
It's been a fantastic series. It sucked. It was delayed a little bit, but, you know, it's worth the wait.
Nice.
Cool. Justin, what did you think about this?
I feel like this run got a little disjointed for me. I know the publishing schedule was disjointed, but also just the way the story was told. Because picking it up now, I was like, he's deaf, but he also can hear a little bit. And like it was all just a little all over the place. I did like the sort
of...
He
has partial deafness.
No, I know. But like to me, that it was hard. It wasn't clear how that played into the narrative, except for he had a hearing aid at one point. And I was like, that was such a big deal for so long, and in this, it's largely ignored. And I don't know what the point of a lot of things in it were. But I agree, the art's crazy, crazy good, and I really like the last sort of after the action is settled. There's this great sequence of the two Hawkeyes like shooting together and all that. I really like that. That reminds me of the end of. Serenity, the movie, when there's that great montage where it's like everyone's getting back to their lives. And I really like that.
Cool. Neil, did you check this out? What did you think?
You know, I haven't because thinking the last issue was going to come out a few months ago, I kind of set 21 aside and figured I'd read them both.
Ooh.
And then I was out of town last week and so haven't had a chance to get to the comic book store yet. And I didn't want to read this one without having read the previous issue because... I have to say that the first 20 issues were as good as anything that's been going on the last couple of years. I mean, it's spectacular. And it's one of the last remaining Marvel books that I even read. So now I'm kind of bummed that it's gone. Daredevil is ending too, so it's like I got nothing left over there.
Yeah, this run has been insane. Like this has been a...
It changed comics.
Well, we talk about a lot about...
The Hawkeyeification of the Marvel Universe.
Well, the Hawkeyeification of the Marvel Universe, but also classic runs. You know, people always ask us, what book could you recommend? What should I check out? What's good for new readers? This is one of those runs. This is one of those runs of comic books that we'll be recommending until we're dead, probably next week, but, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say that for a good long while, for a couple of years, I worked freelance writing AR recaps for Marvel doing... you know, the stuff that when you point your phone at the cover, it would pop up and would give a recap of what's happening. So I got to read a fair amount of scripts that were coming out of Marvel for a couple of years. The amount of scripts that would reference Hawkeye and say, hey, we should do something kind of like Hawkeye. Or, oh, remember that thing in Hawkeye? We should do that.
Yeah.
Is incredible. And I think that's not people ripping off. That's people being inspired by this run and striving to do something that is better than they would normally do. And I think that's amazing. You know, beyond what this comic stood for, what it stood for other people, for other writers, for other comics, I think you can directly trace what is going on in the DC universe now in terms of them really trying to strive to push forward in terms of diverse art styles and diverse writing styles. Can also be directly traced to Hawkeye. It's an incredible book. And
yeah. I think, like, really
changed the industry.
Getting into a character being themselves and not just secret identity, fighting crime, secret identity. It's like them like doing the things a normal human does. That's what this really brought to comics, I feel like, because so many books do that now.
It's so rare that you actually have, you even address the mundanity of life in a superhero story and the way that Fraction and, I guess, primarily Aja, right?
Yeah.
Aja was the primary guy. The way that they told the story was just Justin gives me a hard time about this. I tend to wait until an arc is done before I will sit and read the
put off your pleasure until the
I'll put it off and then read it all at once. I've been doing this for 30 years. I think I did that with, I don't know when I started, but it was a long time ago. And Hawkeye is one of those rare books that when it came out, I would read it right away just because it was just so good and so entertaining and just so unlike anything else that was out there.
Yeah. Couldn't wait.
Couldn't wait. Yeah.
Cool. Speaking of can't wait, I can't wait to find out what Justin's pick was this week. Justin, you want to talk about that?
I picked Invincible this week. Invincible number 121.
Nice.
Great. Reason why?
Nice. Keeping it going. So what's been going on in the Invincible world? Invincible's in space. The robot has sort of taken over Earth and gotten rid of all the heroes that fight crime.
Crazy move by robot.
Yeah, it's very nasty.
He turned his back on all of his friends.
Invincible is like, I can't live on this planet, and so he went into space. And this issue catches up with what's been going on Earth and the heroes that have been captured by him. Yeah. And the immortal decides that he runs this great scam or heist and breaks everybody out. What I really liked about this is Robot then shows up at their secret headquarters, and they're like, half of them are planning to, like, how are we going to take him down? Yeah. And then they just get out into the world having been captured for so long, and they're like, the world is a better place now. And even though it's, like, run by Robot as a dictatorship, everyone is happier. Their crime is down. There's no more starvation. And there's this great just, like, moral crisis that is unresolved in this comic. Some robot shows up and some of the heroes go with him and some stay on their side. And it's just, I feel like this book just keeps finding new ways to like break down kind of the comic book status quo and like put these heroes in different places morally. And it's just really smart writing. And Kirkman, even though I don't know how he has the time of the day, seems stretched thin. We talked about Walking Dead just last week as well.
Yeah.
It's still new. It's still fresh. It's still like it feels like a comic you have to read.
What a great place to put these heroes who put everything on the line for what they believe is right for the world. When they are the ones being sacrificed, when they have to have this moment where we realize that like maybe we're part of the problem, or maybe making this thing that seemed so bad at the time is really for the greater good. Good to see them like just kind of try to deal with that was really powerful and really well done by Kirkman. It was such a cool kind of moment and fucked up moment too, where you know his ex is sitting there. She's like, I went from loving this person to hating him, and to now just sit here and just sit here and think about like he saw something and said, I have to make this fucked up decision, but if I don't do it, then people suffer, then the world isn't a better place. So he made the ultimate sacrifice, and like everybody else is kind of catching up to that.
So would you say that it didn't peter out and it made you turn LePage?
I fucking hate you so much.
Which is great. I just want to put your review in the context.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing that. Let's move on with my pick, which
is Black Canary, number two.
First
off, we haven't even talked to our guest about this.
Oh, yeah.
Before we even get to that, there are three hosts of this show. I don't know, you think maybe you're an intern or some odd new position that we haven't even named yet, like a microphone lab or something.
I think I'm kind of inspired by Neil's position, so I think I should be a senior host.
Do you not? I don't think he named himself senior editor.
Did you name yourself senior editor?
In fact, I did.
There you go. Senior host of Comic Book Club, Alex Albin.
Oh, wow.
Moving on to my pick.
So
Actually, it's
funny that the senior host would not want to review. Often the senior has to do more.
Well, I
or maybe
delegate.
You're forgetful, like a senior citizen who has just lost his ability to remember.
I'm delegating to you guys.
Oh, to review? So you want us to say your review?
What did I think?
Oh, I'll do his album. Okay. I thought it was kind of, you know, like had some great moments, had some tough moments. You know, just middle of the road. I kind of liked it, but I didn't love it. You know, just middle of the road.
Interesting voice he has for you.
Oh, yeah. I don't sound like that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like an NPR version of you. Did you... Did you not read it or did you not like it?
I'm fine with Invincible. I think it's like kind of middle of the road. It's a little good. It's a little bad.
Great. I'm glad we really talked to that. Neil, do you like this?
I read it, and it's the first Invincible book I think I've ever read, so I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah. What'd you think? I
read the first couple 10 years ago, and I or the, some
it's
some
still going.
Years ago.
That's how good it is.
Clearly, 10 years later, not knowing what was going on, I constantly had to ask Justin, "Who are these people? What is this happening? Who is this guy?"
He was having a senior citizen moment.
This is great. I'm really glad we checked in with both of us. Yeah. All right, let's move on with my pick, Black Canary number 2 from DC Comics.
Yeah.
Nice.
Speaking of Hawkeye-ification.
Sure. Yeah, we can talk about that. Brendan Fletcher is writing it. Annie Wu is the artist. And it is, hold on, Lee Lowridge on the colors. This book looks great, and it's a lot of fun. It follows Black Canary. She's not exactly undercover. I think she's kind of hiding out, though it's not 100% clear what's going on yet. She ran away with the band. We don't know why yet. But she's running away with the band. They play gigs. All the gigs keep going wrong. Like a lot of the DC books, like we've been talking about, I think, the past couple of weeks, they are playing around with the art.
We've been talking about the last couple of weeks.
Have you been talking about it the past couple of weeks?
Alex, I put a little phone here on FaceTime, so Alex.
Yeah, it's a teddy. It's a nanny cam.
Yeah, teddy bear, exactly. So. He needs to check up on us, make sure we don't choke on anything.
This book is really enjoyable. I like how they're slowly parsing out the information about what's going on with Black Canary, what's going on with this band, how there's this overall mystery with these weird creatures that are trying to kill them in the band. Mm. The art looks good. The structure of the panels is fun. It's supposed to be a rock and roll book, and it feels like a rock and roll book. Which I think is great. It doesn't feel like a DC comic, and I think it ties into... It's a totally ridiculous, obvious thing, because it ties into Black Canary's look. Like, they started there, and then built a book around that, and it completely makes sense.
Well, she's been in Batgirl recently. They were roommates, and Batgirl sort of erased her life by accident, blew up her van, I believe. And so I think that's why she's on the run. She had all of her stuff taken away, so she crashed with Batgirl for
like
a while.
all her records and stuff, all of her albums.
Well, I think so. She's like, now I'll make music. Yeah. She's sort of becoming the Dazzler.
Well, we still don't know. We don't know how she ended up with this band, how she became the
guys. Don't
man
fight.
Of this
don't
band
fight, guys.
Anything.
Well, did you read back? Do you read Batgirl?
I
think
did,
she said, "I'm leaving with this band."
Yeah, I know. But we don't really know.
Well, I mean, I guess we weren't there. We didn't get on the tour bus.
It's
with
been
them,
a couple of weeks.
Anyways, I agree. I feel like. This is the art's very interesting. I feel like it's very creative, you can tell, and I feel like it fits really well with Black Canary. She has some cool, like, badass moments in this. Yeah, it's a very enjoyable book. I'm excited to, this is the first one I'm reading, so I'm excited to read more.
Nice. There's a great tour poster in the center of the book, which I thought was a fun thing to do.
It's pretty cool. Check it out.
Nice.
But you guys felt like it had, like, a little Hawkeye feel to it, right? I wasn't the only one, right?
I feel like Brendan Fletcher does like a hipster. It's like a hipster thing. His Batgirl is very much like she has a cell phone and dating apps and all this stuff. And I feel like this is sort of another version of that. His style is very much like, look how cool she is. She is on a tour bus, and this girl was stowing away on it.
Yeah, like, but the thing that I think is nice about it is it feels authentic to that. It doesn't feel like. I'm Scott Lobdell, and I'm writing about the kids.
I imagine he's not like 60 years old. Like
no, he's
some
not.
Of those other guys.
They're pretty young.
Yeah,
they're youngins. All right, that's it for the stats, guys. We're gonna move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. So I'm gonna come out to you.
Nice.
And if you have questions for us, for our amazing guest, doesn't matter about what, you're gonna get some free comics. So raise your hand, ask a question. Wow, first hand up, super quick. What's your question, sir?
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
And this goes to the director.
Ooh.
To the Jack of all trades here.
or two trades.
Oh, two trades. Okay. Well, stand corrected.
One of them is metalworking.
Oh, interesting. my question is, if Marvel and DC were to ask you to do one of their characters, what would you do?
Ooh.
There you go.
Great question. Probably Mexican Batman, right?
Yeah.
I would say that there would be one of three. It would either be, I mean, my brother and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and I said I had no great interest in doing one of them. And he said, what if they asked you to do Batman? And I said, if they asked me to do Batman, I'd have a hard time saying no. Green Lantern, especially with the reboot, I really would love to try that. And I would have said Daredevil, but they did it so brilliantly just now on Netflix that, it's certainly the best thing I've seen this year. Movie or TV is Daredevil.
Really? Wow.
Wow.
I loved it. I loved every second of it. It was so good. I was in Maine last week visiting my folks, and I started watching it on their Chromecast, on their big screen TV, and my mom happened to be there. My mom is 7 years.
Very cool. Right? For an older couple.
I know.
Edgy. In Maine, too. That's like you're supposed to just look at rocks and stuff up there.
Who knew? We just got electricity last year.
Sorry.
So my mom, who is 70, watched the first episode with me, and like 10 minutes in, she said, "This is great. What is this?" And she actually is now watching it on her own without me.
Yeah,
like she's up to episode 6 or 7 and says she's emailing me saying, "Oh my God, Daredevil is so great."
Wow.
Ah, cool, mom.
So you're welcome, very Marvel.
Cool. Nice. Getting that 70 plus crowd that they're chasing now.
The senior citizens.
What about you guys? If you could direct one superhero.
Did you say
thing.
Marvel movie or any?
Marvel or DC.
Marvel or DC.
Punisher.
No Valiant. Punisher, no Valiant movies.
Punisher? Yeah. You think you could finally. Let me ask you, would you cast your. Your Thomas Shaboy. Jane?
Yeah, Thomas Jane would be punishing.
You would cast him even though he...
Wait, were we here? Did we talk about John Bernthal? Did I miss
love,
that?
I love that casting. That. Yeah, I love that casting. I think it's great. Yeah.
It's great, and the pictures coming out of it are very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess mine would be also Punisher. I would do a Punisher movie.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck you, man. You're going to try to write a Punisher movie while I'm trying to write a Punisher movie?
Yeah, we're
movie?
Writing rival Punisher movies.
Oh, that's bullshit.
And I guess we'll see what the audience thinks.
Yeah, we will. Yours is going to be all relationship-y.
I'll tell you what. It's a good thing he's public domain.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll tell you what. How about we give ourselves an assignment that next week we come back with some script, a scene from our Punisher, our separate Punisher
wow.
movies.
Oh, wow. All right.
It's on. We're gonna next episode, live reading of Pete's Punisher movie and my Punisher movie.
Awesome.
Awesome. Great answers.
What about you?
Oh, a Punisher movie.
Oh!
Are you joining the challenge?
No, but I do it from the perspective of his family.
What? Oh. So you got to come in with the scene too then?
Yeah, it's called Punisher Origins.
Cool. Oh, cool.
So you're saying you're going to come in with one too then?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, with all three, nice. We're going
to wait,
go.
can I change my answer to Punisher?
It's a bandwagon.
I want to change my answer to Punisher. Yeah, let's do that. Punisher.
I have a question that someone sent in.
What?
Yes.
Hold on. Was it? It's on your phone?
Yeah.
How are we going to shove the free comics in there?
Oh, we can fit them in.
All right.
We can send a coupon.
Cool.
This is from Jason. Which character?
Derulo?
Huh?
Jason Derulo?
No, I think Jason the killer.
Did somebody text you?
Yeah, there's a text question. Which character do you think has the most underrated costume of all time? Not talking Spider-Man or Batman or any superstar heroes. I want you to dig. Which
most
costume?
Underrated costume of most all time? The thing that trips me up is the all time, because I feel like there's some good costumes that are probably underrated.
What do you mean? We mean like in all of history, like in the future and in the future we haven't seen yet? You mean in dinosaur ages?
I don't know.
Here's my answer is Speedball.
Oh no shit! You're gonna say Speedball?
Oh, I'd say Penance then.
Steve Ditko thing?
Speedball, the guy that bounced around.
Yes,
his
Ditko,
costume was made of his powers, like kinetic bubbles of energy, and it would it was cool looking. It made his hair stand out. It was a very cool costume, I thought, and it came directly out of his power set, which is also cool.
I think Wonder Man, for that 70s jacket thing that he had going and the little boot rockets and the tight pants, like right out of the 70s.
It was, you know? That's and the W underneath.
Right.
Or
the leisure suit Wonder Woman, also from the 70s. That's a big hit.
The rebooted Manhunter that Mark Andreyko did for DC Comics, I thought that was a great costume.
I really liked it.
Oh, really?
Jesus Christ, you're a piece of shit.
Why don't you just say...
he's so upset. He's out of breath. He's so
Why don't
upset.
You just say Punisher?
You wear the...
I want to change... Wait. I want to change my answer to Punisher.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's so easy. Pete, you're such a bandwagoner.
Nah, hang on. I'm rethinking the whole fucking question now.
You're rethinking it?
Yeah.
You mean when you say it?
What?
I'll reread the question. It's a...
Which
Punisher had the most Punisher of all of all punish time?
Mm. All right. I think Pete just had a stroke, so let's get the next question. Who else has a question? You, sir, right there. What's your question?
Assuming that the law doesn't change and Superman eventually goes into the public domain, how do you think that will change comics?
Ooh, good question. Wow.
I don't know.
When is that? What's the public domain's what? 80 years now?
No, it's you wouldn't know. 50 years past the death of the creator, I think. It's the death plus 50.
Yeah, but they keep pushing that, right? I mean, that's
the
thing.
They have pushed it. Disney keeps pushing it.
But the thing also is that it's tricky because if it's I don't know that could – is it possible? Can Superman become public domain after a while? Because I think that with DC owning the rights and Warner Brothers owning the rights
– Hold on. Wait. Here.
They would still have the trademark, so you couldn't call it Superman. That couldn't be the title, and you probably couldn't show his image on the cover, but you could do a story about him.
Right.
Yeah. You can use the character.
That makes more sense.
If Superman was in public domain, you think we'd get like a lot of riffs on some sort of man with a lot of powers?
I'll tell you why we
would put out like some sort of super strong man. Perhaps it would be really interesting actually to see people do riffs on the story of a kid sent in a rocket to Earth being adopted. Like maybe he goes dark or evil or something like that.
Yeah,
that
if he lands
might be
in a different
cool.
Country,
I won't change at all. Here's why I think it won't change at all. Because I think that it's already happened. I think that Hyperion from Marvel, I think the Sentry, I think that the Boom thing that Mark Waid did, Irredeemable. I think that it's done over and over again in the guise of what if Superman did this? What if Superman was this? So I think it's already there, and I don't think that the loss of the copyright would change a thing.
But what if
that's
someone,
my answer.
But I feel like everyone has a take on it. When I think with,
that's my point is that you can you know you,
but I think the
you do the thing with
the question is what if it was like a direct where the floodgate was open and anyone could tell a Superman story? Do you think other people could tell better Superman stories than DC weighed down by years and years of continuity?
No, I think they could just tell Superman stories. You know, there's plenty of Elseworld stories that DC has done. They've told hundreds, if not thousands, of Superman stories in entirely different ways. So it would just be new people making Superman stories.
I agree. One of my favorite Superman stories is Secret Identity, the Kurt Busiek miniseries. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And it's about what happened if Superman actually appeared in the real world and didn't want to be known as, you know, was worked behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I love that. I thought it was great. Yeah. I actually, you know what? I'm behind on a lot of comic books, and I just read the third issue of Earth One, the hardcover Superman thing. And I really liked that a lot. I actually thought it was an interesting take on, you know, at the end of the second book, he goes into that African nation and deposes the ruler, and then everybody else loses their shit. And in the third book, when Zod shows up, I thought it was great. I actually thought that, you know what, that was one of the most realistic takes on Superman I've read ever. And I would love to see more of stuff like that, actually. That's just me. What do you think?
I would love to see some sort of dark take on Superman where, like, he was a little bit of a dick and he snaps Zod's neck. I think that would be super cool.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
We'll never get that.
That's not Superman.
That's too crazy.
He would never do
or
that.
Or if they added another, like, sort of darker take on another popular character. That'd be cool, like, to have them both V each other, you know?
Yeah. They're V?
If they were V each other.
Wait, that sounds
vaginas.
Sorry,
sounds vaguely X-rated.
I'm going to say Rorschach has the best costume of all time.
Great.
For those of you who can't see Pete, he's been his eyes rolled back in his head. He's been in some sort of fugue state for the last couple of minutes, and he came up with Rorschach.
Great. I think we can take one more question if anybody has a question. You, sir.
There it is. Right down front.
I knew that's exactly what you were
Sir, what's your question?
I'm going to go kind of with the opposite of a Jordan's right there. What is one character or... you know, character or series that should only ever be written by one creative team.
And interesting.
That's it.
So that's tough because there's only a couple. I mean, there's not a lot of characters.
I would say Saga, first off, shouldn't be in anybody else's hands.
Nice, yeah. That's good. Even because I feel like that, even the artist, you couldn't really change artists.
Well, can we clarify? I mean, are we talking about the idea of a series that's already been done if somebody else were to pick it up and run with it? Or, like, you know, somebody has to take over X-Men, somebody has to take over one of these other books.
That's like more hypothetical, but I was thinking more along the lines of, like, an existing series.
it's purely hypothetical. Of course, that's what I was thinking, more along the lines of something like X-Men, but someone who you think has just done it so well or has done it so amazing. You're like,
because Ellis and Cassidy's Planetary is one of my favorites, but that's never, yeah. then nobody's ever going to do anything with that again. So, I mean, I'm just clarifying what you're
right.
Because I want to answer that question.
Yeah. I mean, I would hate to see if anybody other than Dan Slott wrote Spider-Man. He just created an amazing character, and I feel like
an amazing Spider-Man,
and he's followed it through for so many issues. It would suck if somebody else took it over.
Yeah, no, I don't
know. You know, nobody's going to be able to pull that job away from him. He's going to have to die.
No, I know that.
That's a weird
I'm sorry to see somebody else besides Matt Fraction writing Hawkeye. Coming back full circle to what we were talking about before.
Sure.
And it's been good. The first couple issues have come out. It's been pretty cool.
Although, I haven't read it. I don't know.
You know, if I could go back in time and tell a younger me that, tell you what, Jason Aaron writing Punisher is going to be, you know, not, you know, like in the same league as Garth Ennis, I'd have told you to fuck
when
off.
You say,
like, really is.
When you say younger Pete, you mean like literally a year ago Pete, right?
Yeah, a year ago.
And when you mean you could go back and tell yourself one thing, it would be that?
No, I tell myself a lot of things, but like...
that would be in there, though.
Yeah, it would be
like that be the one right when you're fading away, or would you lead with that one?
Yeah.
Pete, it's me from the future. I have only time to tell you one thing. Jason Aaron's run is really...
Don't be so angry!
I definitely wouldn't say that.
Wow, that's so not what I would tell myself.
Yeah. Yours would be about...
Well, I would tell 18-year-old me, Rachel Jordan really, really wanted to sleep with me.
Ooh, nice. Oh, nice. Yeah, it's a very specific call.
That got very specific.
That's so weird. I would also tell 18-year-old me that Rachel Jordan wanted to sleep with me.
Yeah. Rachel Jordan.
And I would tell me, hey, man, let other people sleep with Rachel Jordan. You've had her long enough. Like, it's time for somebody else to have sex with her.
Pete would say, I got to stop dressing as Rachel Jordan.
Into it.
I would say, I got to look up this Rachel Jordan because she's a giver. Yeah.
Great. Real. Hey, and apologies to Rachel Jordan for listening to the show. That was fucking creepy.
Sorry, Rachel Jordan.
Sorry. You're a swell gal.
Oh, man. That was
you
creepy. I think the odds of forever hearing
this. Somehow made it a little bit weird.
No, that made it weird.
Though, getting back to the question asked by...
The question is, if you could travel back a year at a time, what would you tell Pete?
Yeah, what would I tell Pete?
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, man, ease up. You're going to have that heart attack on July 23rd, 2015. No.
Man,
tomorrow.
You're being far too generous.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a heart attack for 2 days.
Yeah, you have 2 days to really live it up.
All right.
I really like when you get to see a book with a bunch of different riffs, like when they do like the Batman... black and white, to those things. Like, I sort of taking your question the opposite way, did not break a great run, but if we saw like a saga thick issue that had a bunch of shorts written and drawn by other people, I love that. I love seeing other...
Really?
Yeah.
You like paying extra money to see like a bunch of other people like do little short pieces?
Yeah, I like to see and hear what other people have to say about these characters.
Yeah, interesting.
I guess we're different, Pete and I.
Yeah. There you go. And that's the answer to your question, too. If we travel back in time. Thank you,
audience! Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
And in The Week in Geek, we're going to talk about one thing today. Just one thing. We're going to talk about Ant-Man. You got to sit through all the Marvel movies.
I have not seen this one yet.
It's interesting. They had a huge blowout for Avengers: Age of Ultron. They're like, it's all been leading up to this, and 2 months later, they're like, and here's Ant-Man.
They treat Ant-Man like an ant. It's bothering
yes.
them.
Well, what did you guys think? Did you like the movie? Were you mixed on the movie?
Starting with me, huh? All right. Yeah, I mean. I didn't hate it. I didn't like it as much as I wanted. I laughed. I thought it was a fun movie, but it did feel like it was passed around between different people. It felt like it was trying to be a bunch of different things. It also, like, the big plot was like, we have to stop this meeting, which was like weird to stop a business meeting was your big kind of like, we got to break into this area and stop a business meeting. But also, like, I felt like there were, like, really fun moments that were, like, nope, no time for fun. I was like, I thought I was in an Ant-Man movie. So, I don't know. Like, I laughed. I thought it was great. I definitely didn't hate it. I wasn't furious. Like, I've come out of some movies and been like, fuck that. But, like, it was fun. I thought it ended really cool. I thought that was a nice kind of cool ending. I also felt like the after credits, we could have used that before. I wanted, like, a bigger teaser for that. But, I liked it. It had, like, a lot of cool moments, but I wasn't like, holy shit, And, man, I went in with low expectations, and I was like, all right, that was a little better than I thought. Great job.
So what you're saying is some good stuff, some bad stuff, kind of middle of the road.
Ah! Yep. Ah! Damn it, I'm still Zelbin.
Pete just Zelbin himself.
Yeah. Yep.
I think this is one of the weakest things that Marvel has done.
Wow.
Like, especially even like a lot of the TV stuff.
And you saw it. I mean, you saw all the movies as they were intended. You saw Winter Soldier months later on TV.
Yep.
You saw Ant-Man in the middle of the afternoon. Today.
Is that a bad time to see it?
Middle of the afternoon when nobody's in the theater?
The movie. There were people there.
How many?
I like seeing movies when it's empty.
How many people were in the movie theater?
There were like a solid like 40 people there.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
It's not like you were in a movie theater where people were like screaming every time Paul Rudd entered the screen. Rudd! Yeah!
Dude, some real Rudders.
Rudheads. Yeah. I got you, man. Did you see it with Paul Rudd? And you like laughed.
I saw it with Paul Rudd.
You laughed uncomfortably.
I had to. It was really uncomfortable.
Hey, Alex, what do you think of the scene so far? Yeah. Do you like the scene that's
happening? Well, the thing is, he was staring at me the entire fucking time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, Rudd, get your own popcorn.
Yeah.
But you like those ab shots, though, right?
The what?
The ab shots.
He did. I mean, got to touch his abs while they were showing his
abs. Really?
Yeah, it was nice.
That's one of the 3D. Things that doing a Marvel movie is a great way for a movie star to really get in good shape. Because they have to work out so much and get ready, and you got to see a lot of that in this. Got to see some sweet six-pack.
Enough about the fucking bullshit. What'd you think?
I really didn't like it. I thought it was pretty boring. I thought Paul Rudd, I felt like, was sort of almost making fun of the movie. He was making fun of the idea that he was playing a superhero through all of it. That scene where Evangeline Lilly is talking to Michael Douglas, and he's telling him about how his wife, her mother, went into the subatomic realm or whatever, the quantum realm. And it's like it was sort of the most honest or heartfelt moment of the movie. And then it just cuts to Paul Rudd, who's like, this is great. Like, I was like, what, are you heckling this movie?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. He was heckling the movie.
Well,
from within
I think
the movie.
So. I didn't like that scene because the way he reacted in that scene for a different reason than you did. I didn't like it because I felt like that's the Paul Rudd I want to see as Scott Lang. Like, I want to see him more as Eric O'Grady than what Scott Lang has become in the comics. And they didn't let him be that most of the time. Like, they didn't let him be Paul Rudd. So that moment felt super weird because it was inconsistent with the rest of the moments.
Right. Yeah, and maybe if he was like sort of a jerk the whole time.
Exactly.
But I feel like his character was just so vague and undefined. Like, what? Because they had to go for all the heartfelt moments with Cassie, but also it was like he's sort of sarcastic, but he wasn't very funny also in the movie. Like, the script wasn't funny. And I feel like it just had to serve all these different masters and end up being just sort of boring.
Yeah. I will say there were a couple of things that I did like about it. I like Corey Stoll, actually. I thought he was enjoyable as the villain.
Yeah, he was pretty good, because I will say you never knew what he was going to say next.
Yeah.
Because he was sort of acting crazy, but also sort of knew what was happening. So he was a weird supervillain, because he seemed more realistic, like a crazy person.
I did like Cassidy as well. I thought the little girl
was great.
I thought she was awesome. And I actually liked the last third quite a bit. Like, when it finally got to it with the heist and breaking in and everything finally came together, I felt like the movie started to come together. I wished that it had gotten there much earlier.
Yeah, I liked the fight with the model fight, the train. I thought that was super funny. I was like, this could have been the whole movie easily.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just felt like it made me, even though I liked it, I was like, it makes me see that it was possible this could have been way better, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
Also, it was like weird that like it was like, oh, no, you can't go, even though you're better at every aspect of being Ant-Man. You can't do it. And then it was like at the end, it was like, oh, well, I made a suit for you. And it was like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why we go through that whole fucking thing, and then you're going to give it to her anyway?
I also thought it was like the whole premise of that Hank Pym like sought out Scott Lang, broke him out, got him out of prison, or saw that he got out of prison so he could take over the suit. It was like this crazy plan where it was just like, why didn't he just walk up to him rather than make him go through all that? It was
like through all those
very things. Awkwardly.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of plot things like that. Like, why didn't he just put him in the tank at the end?
for example. Yeah, just bring him in that way.
Or why didn't he just ride on his shoulder and walk in? Like, he didn't have to go through any security. Like, he walked in at the end and got right where he was. And I was like, how the fuck just ride on your fucking shoulder?
Or on his ear or in his pocket.
Who gives a shit? It was like, I'm going to go the long way.
That's how I snuck you into the Pentagon, Pete. You rode on my shoulder.
That's right, I did.
Yeah, man. Well, you guys had quite an adventure that day.
Yeah, sure
you
did.
Changed a lot of government policies.
We did. Snack machines for everybody.
Yeah. What a brave
protest. I wish I could add something. I just, you know, haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Sorry to ruin it,
hey,
but it's...
Yeah. You're adding it just by being here, so thank you.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
And speaking of which, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Pete LePage.
Mr. Pete LePage.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars. Who would like $25 free dollars? A simple raising. A new guy, why don't you come on up for $25 free possible dollars.
I raised my hand.
You're on the show. Can I get a microphone? Thank you. Sir, join me on stage. Don't be shy. What is your name?
My name is Tom.
Tom, audience. Audience, Tom.
I was just like you guys.
All right. So, Tom, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, and you will win $25 free dollars. All right?
All right.
So today's character spotlight is on Ant-Man. What was Ant-Man's first appearance? Was it A, Tales to Astonish number 27, B, Ant-Man number 1, or is it C, at a picnic near the potato salad? So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct. Nice job, sir.
Smart work.
Right on the box. Okay. Who has not held the Ant-Man mantle? Is it A, Scott Lang, B, Hank Pym, or is it C, Adam Ant? A little old school shout out.
Deep rest.
Yeah. So it's either A, B, or the correct answer, C.
C.
Nice job. Nice job.
Adam Ant.
He's really good.
Yeah. Last question. Wonderful. Last question. Who did not help create Ant-Man? Is it A, Stan Lee, B, Jack Kirby, or C, Raid, Ant and Roach Spray? So it's either A, B, or pick C.
I think it's C.
C is correct. Nice. Had nothing to do with Ant-Man.
All right.
Congratulations. Man, $25 free dollars, sir.
Unbelievable. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what comic book are you looking forward to?
Well, I'll tell you guys, I'm going on a limb here. I'm going to say Punisher number 20.
Oh my God.
We talked so much about Punisher. Wow. I can't believe you also picked that.
Yeah.
You want to see more Punisher rubbing people's terrorist faces into moving car tires?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay. Great.
If you're a terrorist, you get your face in a tire. That seems fair.
So that's why you like, that's how you're selling the book to strangers? Yep.
Wait, I didn't read the issue. Did Punisher say, hey, it looks like you're tired?
No.
I don't know if he's. You bet he's not thinking like it. I didn't read his thought.
He's
bubbles.
Not Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not like.
That's too bad. I'd really read the book if he said something like
I don't
that.
Like to read characters' thought bubbles because I think their thoughts should be the private. I just like to hear what they say.
Right.
Wow, man. That's the funniest thing you said in 8.5 years.
Shut the fuck up. I'm looking forward to Fables Volume 22. The final issue of Fables is also the final volume. It's going to be a huge epic. It's been so long coming. I keep checking and see if I'm missing it, but it's finally coming out tomorrow, bringing this huge story to a close. Snow White versus Rose Red.
It's crazy because it's the last issue, but it's also the last collected volume of the series.
And that's it comes out as a trade tomorrow.
So you can't buy the single issue?
No, it's trade.
It's a full... issue is that long that it's a trade.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And I'm surprised that it seems like it was such a weird choice, but no one has mentioned that that's such a crazy thing to do.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll mention it. It's crazy.
Hey, oh, great. Crazy?
Thank you for going out on that limb.
No problem. I'm looking forward to Birthright number 9 is coming out tomorrow from Image Comics. If you haven't been reading this book, it's about a little kid who's taken away to a fantasy land and comes back as a horrible demon murderer. But it's also a little lot more than that. It's great. Wonderful book. We've talked about it a lot on the show. Definitely
love that
check
book.
It out. Neil, what are you looking forward to?
I'm actually looking forward to reading Hawkeye 22. which no. I didn't get to read last week. But this week it'll be new for me. So as far as I'm concerned, it's coming out tomorrow.
Cool. You're going to go back and 1 week and tell yourself to read that book.
Plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Go to SSNinsider.com, where you can read my column pretty much every week. And if you want to read the Avengers story, it's on the main page under contributors. Two Ninas is on Amazon Prime and Netflix disc, but not streaming, which I don't understand.
And you're saying Two Ninas,
as in two women named Nina, with Ron Livingston and Amanda Peet,
or two of Christopher Columbus's ships.
Yes.
Two Ninas.
I believe that's Nina, though, not Nina.
It's spelled the same, I think, though.
Yeah, it is Nina. Yeah. You know, funny story, when the movie came out, the guy at MoviePhone said, when MoviePhone was a thing, said, now playing at Two Ninas. Like, they got it wrong.
Yeah.
And I called up and it was too late. They couldn't.
You called up and yelled at the
I called up
phone?
And I was like, I was trying to find
you know,
the
they fired
so they
him
re-record
from
it.
That. Because they
so
fired
they could,
him and
they
now
would
he's.
Re-record it. Yeah, but they wouldn't.
Yeah, well, was he like, I'm sorry, I won't change that?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And right, now he's destitute on the street and he says, could I please have a dollar? Because he's a beggar.
Why don't you just tell me the movie you want to see?
You'd feel pretty bad if that was true.
I would feel bad.
What we're not going to feel bad about is next week on the show, one of our favorite guests is coming back, Jeff Rubin.
Jeff Rubin from the Jeff Rubin Show. Very
so
fun guest.
Pretty cool. Another cool thing, Pete, was there something you wanted to plug?
Yes. Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com or Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank Neil for being on the show.
Neil! Yeah!
We want to thank our fabulous interns, Eva Bell, Tomberdar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's.
Thanks, everybody.
All, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Good night! Hi, Scott.